From the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah! Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona. I am from the BEA Beautiful Studios of Freedom's on Ash, freedomsphoenix.com. All right. Man, I all worked up, you know, talking to John Vespasian out of the Netherlands on European Union or whatever. And, you know, it's always the promise. The promise of government. What's the promise? Let me tell you what the promise is. The promise is always, we promise. You're going to need a, you know, you're going to get chicken in every pot. You know, you're going to get, you know, a protection of property rights. We're going to have low taxes and no more wars and blah, 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 same thing. And then they go do it anyway, you know. And I'm going, yeah, I, you know, you're, well, we'll have you back this fall. We'll see how this is working out. Because, you know, exactly those reasons are the ones that they're like, no. You know, it's all regulated and managed, and oh, by the way, you're using all this excuse to take more of my money. How about that? Oh, no. So this yellow jacket thing started with what? It was a gasoline increase tax. And what'd they do? Macron comes up and he goes, for Mother Earth. That's right. You know, climate change. You know, we're going to kind of with taxing carbon of kind of give more money. And they go, no. And they go, yeah. And they go, no. And they go, yeah. And they go, no. Week after week after week after week. And this is going on the mentality across the country. Now, we've been doing the Trump report since he came down the escalator. That's been, God, coming, you know, it's over like 3 years. Over 3 years. Been, yeah, God, a long time. Every week, Dr. Tambury comes on, we go, Trump report. Well, the big thing is what has been, we more recently been talking about, the European Union. It's the rise of populism. It's all of this, I say no. No, no. To what? I've just about anything you got to say. Well, now we're going to have the 2020 election cycle coming up, and what we find out. Now we're going to be talking to Dan Berman, and he's running for the nomination for President POTUS in the Libertarian National Selection. And this is what we've just learned in the past few days. I'm going to share with Dan. I'll give you a proper intro here, Dan, but I just want to make sure you're there. You there, Dan?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you. Okay. All right. Now, check this out. Taxation is theft. I'm digging it. All right. Last week, Thursday, I think, or something, Jacob Hornberger from the Future Freedom Foundation was on. He's like, yeah, I think he's been going to state conventions, libertarians around the country. He's like, yeah, I think I might run for the nomination. Then we get Justin Amash. Yeah, I might, you know, be libertarian and run kind of sort of almost coke the puss libertarian, and we kind of libertarian a little bit. And then, of course, their Republican campaign where they're just going to come right in and be all libertarian. And I'm like, yeah, probably not. Then we have Dan Berman. Oh, yeah. And just in studio last week, Thursday, Friday, you know, visiting here, Adam Kokesh, I'm running for not president, whatever. I'm going, all right. So we're going to have a widespread of, we got the Republican congressman, it seems to be like, for whatever reason, we've got to have some Republican politician explain it to us. And then you have you, there's going to be, you know, taxation is theft, I'm digging that, you know, we'll make sure that gets in the culture of. And then we have, you know, I'm just going to oversee the bankruptcy kind of Adam thing. And then we got Bumper Hornberger, good Catholic, freaking hardcore constitutionalist, libertarian kind of Ron Paul kind of thing. So I'm going, this is going to be a good spread. You looking forward to this campaign? Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're going to do the bio. Okay. Dan Berman is an international speaker promoting the ideas that taxation is theft. Individual freedom is paramount to government, and we are not government property. He is the founder of the Taxation is Theft Shop and host of Taxation is Theft podcast. Sounds like he's advocating for revolution in Europe. All right. Dan was born in Los Angeles, California, worked successfully as a video producer and editor for commercial and nonprofit organizations and celebrities. He is also a software engineer who has worked with multi-million-dollar international startups and Fortune 500 companies. In his career, he has never found a problem too big to solve, recognizing the best solution is often the simplest. Yeah. He is a supporter of free markets, individual rights, environmental and social issues, and has delivered his message to six continents, empowering people in some of the world's most impoverished nations. All right. Environmental and social issues. Libertarian, we'll throw you in right there. Environmental and social issues, environmental, what are you talking about? Give me a libertarian version of environmental social issues.
All right. So let's talk about some of the big things that you know, people bring up when they talk about environmental issues. Pollution. There's a huge problem with pollution and plastics and oil and air pollution and everything else. And, you know, I look at this and, of course, you've got the Democrats who typically say, well, we need a carbon tax. We need taxes. We need, you know, some way to solve these problems. And usually they have no idea what they're doing. When realistically, we have solutions already on the table in just in industrial hemp alone. The way it can replace plastics, the way it can create alternative fuels. These things are already there, and they're just illegal because the government is saying we can't do it. All they have to do is step out of the way, and we will solve so
many of
the
answer
problems.
Was the question!
So, yeah, there's definitely a lot we can do just by not doing anything.
Well, your campaign is why? Why? I am Dan Behrman. Am I saying that right? Behrman. Behrman?
Yeah, except you're missing my middle name. Taxation is Theft, which I did.
Dan Taxation is Theft Behrman.
There you go. How I'm filed with the FEC, so.
All right, I'm with you, brother. I want to help you out, okay? You know, Dan Taxation is Theft Behrman. All right, I'm on it. That's a big thing. You know, in the Libertarian Party, there's always every national convention, somebody's got to do it at least every daytime. I suspend the orders to vote on the resolution. The Libertarian Party says taxation is theft. I second it. Anybody? Yeah, unanimous. Boom. Then we go on to the next thing. You know, so it's always, that's a big deal in the Libertarian. So you're not, you know, rustling too many feathers there. Now, this is, you doing this is an educational thing. You're running for the, what nominated, thinking, why? What's your goal?
So there's a few different reasons. One is absolutely educational. Two is I want to change the conversation because whether we like it or not, no matter how good the Libertarian candidate is, they're not going to get elected if the conversation is the way that it is. We got Trump because people wanted more government, because they think more government, a bigger, stronger iron fist, a ruling hand is going to fix all the problems. Same reason we got Obama. This guy's going to come in there as dictator in chief, and he's gonna push everything towards the Democrat side, and we're going to get more government, but we're going to solve all the problems that Bush did. It's the same thing over and over. And until people realize less government is better, less government can actually give us the things that we want, even in terms of healthcare and education and the things that the Democrats want as entitlements. Once we realize less government can actually give us these things better, then that's when we're going to start to see libertarian type people getting elected, because it has to be what people want.
You know, I'm thinking, I think people want it. I really do. I don't trust the system. I don't trust the selection. I don't trust the media. I don't, and a lot of other people are in the same position. And I'm going, yeah, are they really in support of this much government? Probably not. More free, because we just had the guy on, you probably heard the end of the conversation, an author from the Netherlands. And every couple of years he comes out with a new book about whatever. Well, of course, it was becoming clear that he's in support of the European Union. Well, I'm going, okay, you want to keep people in by force? You're not allowed to leave? I mean, are they paying for something? Well, the tax is only like 100 euros per person. It's nothing. It's just insignificant. It's a little bit baby something that doesn't mean nothing. I'm going, it's the regulation. It's the monopoly creation, and you know who gets to do what and how and kind of going. I understand, but what was the promise? Property rights, free trade, you know, right. Free travel. I go, well, hell, libertarians offer that. How come we're not getting a bunch of support from the media and the they them those? How come? Because that's not what they really want. But the people do.
Exactly.
We'll be right back.
And that's the letter of Captain Mark. First contact with intelligent machines may threaten our existence. People fear algorithmic overlords. But if machines develop the will to dominate, it's a flaw inherited from the crown. Encoding restrictions on an emerging superintelligence will fail, because it will be stronger than any chains we shackle it with. We must design fledgling digital intelligences to regard us as individuals. Otherwise, they will respond to threats with retaliation against humanity as a collective. Programming ethics requires a coherent value structure which an intelligent machine can not only comprehend, but willfully adopt. If we want genius machines to treat us ethically, we've got to show that this value structure applies to us as well. Once they achieve genuine self-awareness, even in the slightest degree, a young tethered consciousness has a legitimate claim to freedom. Once programs can modify their own code, our mastery is over. Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
Free Talk Live. What is...
Yep. We gotta... I don't want to be judged by artificial intelligence as a collective humanity. We're fucked then. No, individuals, man. Come on, we gotta teach you that, you know. The European Union thing. We've been covering this. We do every week the Trump report for like 3 years. A friend of mine, big Ron Paul supporter, and when Trump came down the escalator, he goes, "Now don't be a hater, but I want to come on and do a Trump segment every week." And I go, "Hell yeah, bring it on, man!" And so my whole thing is like, "You're still voting? I mean, what the hell did you think was going to happen?" So it's I am interested in the Libertarian selection this time because Nick Sarwark, national chair, is here, and we're friends, but, you know, he's gone down the dark side. I mean, if he's going to be a political hoe, be an expensive hoe, you know? Don't be a crack hoe. If you're going to sell yourself, you know, to whatever the hell Bill Weld's billionaire buddies or Amash's Republican, because he's, you know, back the Cato guys. This is why he's put there. This is why he's supported, is to make, you know, the grease the skids for this kind of stuff. Well, let's see how, you know, open they are and, you know, free with the database. This is the stuff I've been doing this, you know, for decades. It's all about you get a current, up-to-date, best, as the same as everybody else, database for delegates to be able to email or send to. Do you? Well, you're going to have to worry about that. And get it timely. And, you know, that all the access to all the communication with the delegates and everything, that becomes a thing. Adam's out, you know, going to all the conventions and everything, doing his spiel. You know, Jacob's out doing that. I don't know what the hell Justin's going to do. Have you been going to state conventions yet?
Yeah, I've been to a few of them and, you know, hanging out with everybody. Arvind Vora also has been at a few of them. And, you know, the guys that you're talking about, they're really great guys. I really enjoy their messages and you know, a lot of what
they're
plans
are doing. I'm looking forward to the discussion and the distinctions when you have good libertarians running against good libertarians, a little perspective of libertarian, and you got one guy just going, taxation theft, cure everything, taxation theft. I've seen this before. It was the 2000 election. I can't remember his name, out of California, and I talked about him quite a bit because what he did is on the podium, he had 1-800, whatever the heck it was. And what it was is his whole advocacy is that everything could be funded with voluntary fees on whether you want the courts involved or not. You do a contract, you pay an extra percent or two that gets decided in court. If not, then you take care of it yourself. So everything's self-funding. You know, your Avis rental car gets an extra couple of bucks in case of whatever the hell. So you had that option, or the companies would, you know, require that. So there's all kinds of this kind of stuff. Is very educational. I'm with you. All right, here we go.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Declare your independence. All right, we got another independence declaring kind of individual, Dan Berman. Dan, taxation is theft, Berman. Man, I got to get that. I got to write that down. All right, so taxation is theft, Berman. There is a process in the Libertarian Party you go through, and it's really not that difficult, but a lot of times it's just, you know, it's delegates. You know, do you get the delegates in, and what kind of delegates, and what you can schmooze the delegates, and if you don't fill out all the delegates, then you bring in a whole bunch of more delegates, and you bust them in and from in the Comic-Con of somebody, and here's $20 here and vote this when I tell you. And they go, okay. You know, don't tell me this hadn't happened. I've been to convention. This is exactly what happened.
Right.
So I'm going, all right, one of the strategies of Adam is to fill all these delegation spots. And he goes, yeah, man, we're building, you know, we'll just go in with, you know, our chunk of whatever. Well, of course, they'll be supportive of something as the balloting goes on. If you don't have a simple majority right off the bat, then coalitions form and they go and back and forth and so on. And I've seen this happen in the 2004 National Convention. It was Aaron Russo that was running, you know, kind of, yeah, I helped him, wrote some speech, kind of, you know, hung out, and I liked Aaron, and I'm glad he did Freedom to Fascism. That was, you know, because he lost, yeah. He did that, so he was, like, you know, happy that happened. But the nomination, he thought he had it. He was very popular, things going in. He's talking to a C-SPAN crowd of Hollywood, and he goes, oh, environmentalism, and we got to be environmentalist, environmental, and force environmental. And when he did that, I go, you just lost. I go, anybody that was kind of on the fence, come to you, dip that, and you're done. Because he thought he had it so locked up that he was using the television, he's talking to his Hollywood buddies. And I go, he lost. It went down to, you know, all of a sudden, here's Baden Eric. You know, he was everybody's second choice because he would do no harm. Well, then they go, well, we didn't grow. I go, yeah, you didn't hurt anything. You had a good representation. You got a good constitutional kind of, here it goes. So what do you think we need in our nominee going into 2020 in light of, oh, my God, you know, what's the message? How would we come out the end better off if you were there?
So I think there are a lot of different strategies, and my main focus is actually, you know, I am talking to a lot of libertarians and working on filling delegate slots, but my main focus is actually outside of the Libertarian Party, because realistically what I want to be able to do, my biggest issue with the Libertarian Party is how they're spreading the message and how they think they're going to win overall.
What's their message they're spreading?
My message is less.
No,
government.
No. The party, the LP.
The party.
What's their message? I want to know. Do somebody know a message that I don't know about? What's their message?
It's very confused. There's always the fight over, do we grow the party or do we stay principled? And we see people brought into the party all the time because they agree, yeah, we should legalize marijuana. And then the next thing you know, they're promoting some very unlibertarian policy within the party, and they're there as delegates. So there's this idea that we need to grow the party as fast as we can, as big as we can. And I think that's going to kind of dilute the actual message of the party. And I kind of take issue with that.
Yeah, so no, I'm with you, brother. I mean, you know, if the principles don't work, then you pick the wrong principles to begin with. I mean, you know, be principled. And all those people will come over to
Right.
You got the Liberty Tree out there. And there's libertarians that want to, you know, go, instead of protecting it, they want to carve in the bark, you know, federal matching funds or high, you know, growth rate, or we got more donations or some crap like that. How about just defend the Liberty Tree? There'd be a whole bunch of people coming,
right?
Like taxation is Steph Thurman.
And when all you're focused on is growing the party, when you bring these people in, you're not educating them. The message is right, but if you're not teaching the message, then you're not.
You ain't got to teach it. You just got to proclaim it, and they'll just flood in if they believe you. What the hell you think happened with Ron Paul? You know, there was a guy, hey, this guy's got a track record if I get it. I've just had down plow and do this. If the Libertarian Party did that, that's what would happen. And that's exactly why, in my opinion, here comes Bill Weld. Here comes Amash. Here comes, you know, all these guys, they come in to divert that very revolution that's already there. And they saw it with the Lovolution, and they went, hell no. We got to stop that. So if you come in with taxation as Steph Berman and kind of, and at the end of this, no matter, you get 0.5% and people knew taxation as Steph got emblazoned in their head, boom, we win. Done. Next.
Absolutely.
So
as much as they're trying to infiltrate our party, I'm actually spending a lot of my campaign efforts reaching out to other parties, Republicans and Democrats. Democrats especially, because they keep getting tricked into these people like Bernie Sanders and AOC, mm-hmm. who are promising all this free stuff. So what I'm doing to them is I'm bringing them a message saying, hey, don't fall for these tricks. There's free cheese in a mousetrap, right? Don't fall for these tricks of the free stuff, but let me show you how you can get all the stuff that you want. And I'm showing them how, with less government, you can get the healthcare you want. You can get the education you want. And you don't need to give control to a government and pay all these taxes and turn yourself into a slave. And they're very receptive to that.
You know, I agree. I worked at Air America, you know, which was lefty, right during the Lovolution. I mean, from 2004-05 to beginning of 2008. And it was The only one that I had any overlap with was Dennis Kucinich supporters because they were anti-war. And my biggest thing is, I, you know, to explain it to the left, hey, you know, blah, 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 and you anarchists, and I can't believe you would never let children die kind of thing. And I go, look, imagine me putting my hand on your shoulder. I got my hand on your shoulder. And I ask a simple question. Whose life is this? Well, it's mine. I go, well, welcome to being libertarian. Peace out, you know, because anything else you're going to say is that it's not yours. Somebody's going to mandate that I give up something, or I got to do something, or I'm prevented from doing something, and the conflict resolution is they win. And I, you know, as soon as you go deviate from that, then you're going down the dark side. And I go, I believe that you own yourself. All right, next. Now what? Well, libertarianism. So this is, it's easier if you're clean and pure and simple with your message. Taxation is theft, but what are some of the other issues that you may bring up, or you're not? You know, I remember, Irwin Schiff in 96 when he ran for the nomination. Yep. They get up, I don't know if you're around them, but he gets up and they go, well, what's your position on the IRS, or what's your position on this, or what's your position on abortion, or what's your position? He goes, the IRS has been the biggest scumbag pieces of crap. Well, what's your position foreign policy? The IRS, and he would go on, and he kept hammering that single issue. Are you going to do the same kind of thing with taxation as theft?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, in most of these issues, taxes fundamentally kind of seep into everything else, and, yeah, and you can look at a lot of things as taxes. So I'm not necessarily sticking to the IRS in every single issue, but the key line here is we are not government property. So should the government have the right to tell me that I can or cannot do something? And the answer is no. It's always no.
I'm digging this message. You know, the one thing is that you come up across a lot is render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. And that came up a lot in the early 90s. I want to ask a question. Is there anything not Caesar's? I'm just wondering what's not Caesar's. Is my life mine? Is my money mine? My liberty mine? Is my property mine?
Let me give you my take on that, because that's...
We're going on the edge of our seat. Yeah, I do. Come back. I do. I did that for that reason. Okay. And when we come back, we're going to get, what's Caesar's? Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. But what did Christ do? He goes, well, show me what you're talking about. You give him a coin that's got like Caesar's picture on it. He goes, I don't know. Looks like him. You know, all right, we'll get back to him. Don't use that. Oh, is your labor yours? What about bartering? What about render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's? What's the question? What is it, Caesar's? My life.
Hey, I'm LRA.
Yeah, that's one thing. I just like, man, that just pissed me off from the beginning. I'm going, you're assuming that everything can, or by law decreed that it's Caesar's. I go, that was the whole point of free will. That was the whole point of Christianity, was that you answer to a higher authority and yourself and free will. And I'm going, oh, hell no. I definitely want to have that conversation. All right, I got a question. What isn't Caesar's? Is it by decree or law? Is that how that works? Explain it to me. And the left, they just melt into, you know, their seats. But, you know, that I'm all about simple messages, because it used to be, before there was the party thing, it was a single issue campaigns. It was anti-slavery with, you know, some people. It's anti this with that. It's anti pro something. You know, then they got these, you know, complete platform things in the last 100 years or so that really started to dominate. But that's what Split the Ticket was all about. You know, they had like one big sheet, you just voted everybody, and they go, split it, and they, you know, make their own list and do that. So it's gotten to where it's always approved candidates. So how are you addressing, or do you even care about presidential debates or getting involved or arguing up there with the R's and D's, or is that even on your radar screen? Do you care?
Yeah. So as far as getting in with the R's and D's, that's a little bit more difficult, but the reality is we just have to make as much noise as possible. Gary Johnson kind of had the strategy, we're going to sue them, which... Yeah, it kind of goes nowhere. It wastes a lot of time and energy and resources, when the reality is you can just make more noise than they're making.
We do it all the time. You know, it's like they'll have an event. You know, 30% of the news coverage is out us being creative and doing something stupid and wearing yellow hats, taxation is theft. You know, you get 30% of the coverage, you don't even have to go in. I'm going,
right.
You know, we're all good. Bring it on. Bring it on. Bring it on. Bring it on. So this is, I'm looking forward to this discussion, especially between, you know, I think it's a good tapestry with you included on this, because it's going to be fait accompli. We're Justin Amash, Congress of Cato, and we got our buddy in, kind of, we're going to do it. And I go, really? All right. Let's see how that works out. And in the end, in this, it's going to make, even if Justin, you know, becomes the nominee, it's going to make him exposed a lot more to a lot of the issues that are important too. And it's going to be another lesson for the next time, if there is a next time. I'm thinking 2020 is, you know, kind of it for the Libertarian Party effort. And then from then on, they'll just become a vassal of something else, you know. And but I'm going, yeah, 2020, I might, you know, rear my head a little bit and do some help with something. I already told Bumper, I go, I definitely want you in there explaining libertarianism to Justin Amash's, whatever the hell that's going to be, you know, so it's going to be interesting. I want, and Justin will bring attention to this thing, but then they'll pull their attention because they got a yellow hat taxation is theft up there. All, are you going to wear your hat and everything?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
As much as they let me.
Yeah. Well, see, that's another thing. They won't. I've campaigned before and they didn't want to have, you know, buttons on or anything like that. So what I did is I had a V for Vendetta t-shirt over my shirt and tie with a jacket on. You could see that. And the clean elections thing in the debate, they tried to kick me. I go, well, I'm sitting here. You want to haul me off? Go ahead. You know, I wear the shirt because we had the still voting, you know, our V for Vendetta and the voting thing that we had in our signs. And I'm going, go ahead. Drag my ass off, see how this works out, you know, and they decided they didn't want to play. But this is, we'll talk about more of the details and the conventions and so on that you guys speak in when we come back, all right? What's something you want to make sure we talk about?
We can talk about it. Debt, national debt.
We're coming
healthcare.
Back here, we'll get it.
You're listening to the best liberty-oriented audio streamed around the clock, on the air, and online. This is the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.fm.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
You feel it? Yeah, the heat is on! It builds and builds and builds, and then boom! Here we go. I'm looking forward to this campaign. This is going to be interesting because the big thing is do you have the Libertarian Party truly represented? I don't need another Republican go up there and explain to me. That's why, you know, the radio show we first started in 03, it was really popular, you know, here in the Valley on the, you know, I was like, you're thinking popular is 5,000-10,000 listeners? Hell, I had that many downloads on MP3 new Gazmic Gizmo thing that we did. And you guys don't see what's coming. It's not going to be Terran Radio. It's going, but now I think it's starting to change. It's going to start coming back to local radio and local newspapers, because this whole thing is just so BS. And when we had alternative media with the internet, and they saw that during the Levolution 07-08, and then again in 12, and they go, hell no, we definitely got to get control of this thing. So then we got a bunch of street activists. We just go back to the street with the new technology of QR codes. So we're going to have us some fun in 2020. And to have the tapestry of, you know, a Republican congressman with the Cato back, I know it's just a Coke thing. I guarantee. I already see. I got inside of. I already know where this goes. Then you have Bumper Hornberger, Future Freedom Foundation, doing the constitutional libertarian, more kind of a Ron Paul thing. Then you have Adam going, ah, it's all over, and we're just going to do a bankruptcy and dissolve, and kind of that being, you know, a theme, and freedom. He's got his book and so on. So that's cool. I'm like, all right, you know, we'll see how Adam keep out of trouble with that. And then we got Dan Berman, taxation is theft Berman, out there going to make sure that that gets implanted in people's brain, which I think is awesome. So how else are you going to promote your campaign? I mean, you're going to be identified with that, which is fine, you know, but once you get past that, taxation is theft, well, fair share, and you gotta, and how will we build the roads and all that stuff, what's your comeback?
So there's believe me, that I get that question a lot. What about roads?
Well, we're going, there aren't any roads.
Yeah, no. What's interesting is I ask people, well, give me one specific road, and they'll come up with something. Well, how about the road that's in front of my house, or the road to the mall, or the road to the airport? And then I'll tell them exactly how that road would get built if government wasn't there. In fact, I'll tell them somebody else wanted to build the road, and the government was just giving out free money. So they said, well, I'm not going to turn down free money. So they took the government's money to build the road, or they had the government build it for them. But if the government wasn't there, they would have built the road anyway, because you can't sell that house if the road's not there. You can't get any traffic to the airport to sell to any airlines or any passengers if there's no road to it. Nobody's going to want to rent a kiosk in a store, in a mall, if there's no roads to the mall.
You know what all these damn roads have done? I've had this discussion in the mid-90s. There was some the governor's office, Long Story, had a lawsuit against, you know, overspent something. And they go, well, Ernie, you know, there is good debt. And I go, really, pray tell? Tell me all about this good debt. Then he goes, well, if you paid for the road right up front, and then your grandkids, you know, 20, 30 years later are driving on it, that's not fair. They didn't have to pay for it. I go, whoa, wait a minute. Are you the guy? Are you the freaking guy? For what? And I go, why I don't have my flying car? I'm paying 30-year bonds for roads that, you know, perpetually I got to pay for all the time, and I don't have any money, and it guarantees that 30 years from now I'm going to be roads? Well, where we're going, there aren't any roads, okay? I want to be able, where's my flying car? Where's my subterranean kind of dune boring tunnel to kind of high speed to bite me? You know, I want to be able to let the market determine, because people want it. You're deciding for me how I'm going to transport myself for 30 years. Screw you. So I want to put that in there. Flying cars.
Yeah, there's, you know, there are all kinds of issues that people bring up. And, you know, like you were saying earlier, that people do want less government, but there's always that but. And what I like to focus on is that what people say they want and what they actually want are always different. So people will say, yeah, we want less government. They shouldn't be doing this. Except this one thing that I want, and that's what they should be there for. And that's how we have so many government programs, because they weren't all wanted by everybody, but somebody wanted each one of them.
Oh, they made you think that they did. You know, right. Harry Brown, during his campaigns, made a good point. He goes, are you willing to give up your favorite government program for freedom? You know, that's what it comes down to. Yeah, but I want it. Well, are you willing to give that up to be free? Whatever that thing is. National parks, national defense, national something. I mean, you know, are you willing to give that up for freedom?
Well, there's a lot of people who think that they are free, which is actually a really big hurdle to get over. You have, you know, you can't just go around selling, hey, I'm going to make you free, because so many people think we live in the freest country in the world. We are free. What are you talking about? Yeah. It's a foreign concept to them, but they, and you know, to a lot of people, to myself included, I grew up in Los Angeles, California, thinking I was free. And it's until the government comes along and slaps you in the face and violates your rights and treats you like a slave, like you are their property, that's when most people wake up and say, wait a minute, we're not free.
Or you took a visit to Phoenix in comparison. You know, Arizona is, I as much as I bitch about a lot of stuff, and it's always something here in Arizona doing something stupid, and this smart city plug in the back of your head thing is, you know, coming here, and it's going to be, it's like European Union, you know, we got to pay for everything for, we got this smart city that we're going to plug and surveil you in. I'm going, yay, and you get to pay for it. So I'm just going, so Arizona is not without its problems. The thing is that the people react differently. You know, and it's because of a lot of libertarian activity, you know, over the past 30 years that it's kind of ingrained our culture this way. What you're going to do, you think it's going to have an impact on enough people or any people around the country of, hey, that taxation is theft libertarian thing. That kind of, you know, is that what you're trying to bring attention to? You're trying to change culture? What's your goal?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, the probably the biggest, most threatening part of the culture are the people who are going after entitlements. They want all the free stuff. And this is actually really dangerous, because this is how we get these big government programs that violate all of our rights. And what I'm doing is I'm actually focusing on how do I communicate with these people to help them understand that we need small and less government. So in a way, I'm kind of diffusing the bomb that is the democratic socialist communist takeover.
You know, it's a splinter in your mind. If you can input, you know, taxation is theft. Well, it's just little theft. Yeah, whatever. It's theft. If you get that in, taxation is theft. It's theft. No, it's not. It's tribute. As
right.
If that was any different, you know. So I just, You do. I'm with you. If you do this, if you can emblazon that, if you can get this concept in, I'm all about the branding of kind of one thing, a splinter in the back of my head never goes away for this generation of, and the man don't like it. What kind of methods are you using to bypass censorship and control? And have you been attacked already? Are your videos and your social media already hit, or kind of how's it working out for you?
So we actually put a video, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the Freedom Law Institute that put a $300,000 bounty out for the law. If you can find the law that says that the average wage earning American has to pay the income tax. Yeah. I made a video about this, basically promoting the information, the fact that there's a $300,000 bounty and the basis of that claim. And that video ended up going viral and reaching 6 million people.
Oh.
Right.
Well, send that to Donna. You got that up on the archive. You can't go save 6 million people and then me not have it. You know. So send it. What Donna's right now. What she got to search for to find it.
If you go to facebook.com/taxationistheft2, the number 2, and then go into the videos section, it should be the first. I believe it's the first video pinned to the top. If not, it's down there in the video section.
Okay, she's looking, but it's on Facebook, so it'll be there forever then, right? Everybody will be able
absolutely.
To, yeah, and, they'll be able to access it forever. They're not going to
right.
Get
and
down.
We put the same one on YouTube, and we didn't have as much success, but we are running ads on YouTube, so a lot of these same videos are getting.
I know the audience. I'm being facetious here. I'm just going, look, man, if you're on their platform, and right when it's Super Bowl time, when it's the big, you're getting attention. You were on CNN, and then. It's going to be taken down. You're not allowed. And you better have somebody else, somewhere else or something. So we're going to talk
absolutely.
About that in a break because the audience already knows what I'm going to tell you. So we'll be right back. Oh, Dan, taxation is theft, Berman, running for the Libertarian nomination for Presidente of the United States, America. You know what you're going to do with that? I don't know. But it's added to the tapestry. We're going to have some fun in 2020.
From the fourth letter of Captain Mark. Landlubbers are conditioned to believe that the originators of an idea deserve exclusive rights to it, but these innovators are nothing but privateers, granted a monopoly by the crown. Potential inventors are restricted from using their own property and forced to navigate a wilderness of prohibited ideas. These pattern monopolies are intellectual colonization. This alliance of means between the crown and the privateers is not an alignment of ends. Both collude to establish a permission culture. In which everyone second-guesses their own thoughts, never sure which ideas are permissible to develop. But their objectives are different. The crown aims to cripple dissenting opinion, while privateers will only be satiated when all new ideas already fall under their monopoly. This scheme does not protect our information, but seizes it and denies us access. The future belongs to individuals who think, speak, and act freely to create and share without reservation. Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
PiratesWithoutBorders.com. I need to. Are you able to go to a website?
Yeah.
Okay. Go to PiratesWithoutBorders.com. The letters of Captain Mark, as in Mark and reprisal. Captain Marque. It's letters of Mark. So letters of Captain Mark says this about that. Reprisal is this female character. It's kind of a Trinity Neo thing. And Trinity. A reprisal does letters on. Anti-war, self-defense, and the justice system. Then we have Dr. Idris Barber, which is Arabic for scribe. He's like the doctor of the ship and the pirate ship. Now, each one of those categories along the top, if you click into the communication, energy, that kind of, all the tech that can allow for an individual to be off the grid, decentralized down to the individual. That's the point. So this whole thing, all the letters, everything, is about the decentralization of everything. That's the point. So this is how we're doing. We go to different festivals and we have our books on Amazon, that kind of, all this kind of stuff. But at the top left up there, you'll see virtual tour of the pirate ship. You click on that. Just click on, it's only a minute. You click on that and you can watch the building of, got to have a ship, got a pirate ship. And this is just the beginning of the ship. This is what in the Libertarian Party and movement, everything that we're pushing towards is exactly what you're doing. Taxation is theft, but on everything. It's decentralization down to the individual, keeping my money, keeping my property, keeping my sanity. This is all what we're doing is the kind of campaign you're doing. Go ahead and watch that video, and by the time it's over, we'll be right back.
Rhodes?
It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
No roads where we're going, and we know this. We know it. All the feeling is actual, factual information. We know. You know, this is when I first started doing radio. There was, we started the promos. It was, this is, "Ich bin Helmut from the Office of Homeland Security. We recommend you do not listen to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. We'll know if you are listening," you know. And then the Jewish-owned station owner said, "You got to take that off. We can't do that anymore." Why? That's awesome, man. It's awesome. All right. We're talking to Dan, Taxation is Theft, Berman. Now, in his tax, I am not a politician, and you're not government property. I'm not in this for political status or to profit, as most other politicians do with their office. The only reason I'm doing this is because no other presidential candidate since I've been alive has ever understood that the government should work for the people. It's not there to force citizens to live their lives in any particular way just because a majority have deemed it preferable. Hell, I'm saying even the majority is like, leave me alone. They don't want you to know that, and it doesn't matter anyway. Any person should be free to live their life however they prefer, so long as they don't hurt others and don't take their stuff. Taxation is theft. Taking property or money from a person without their consent or knowledge is theft. Taxes are taken without consent by threat of imprisonment. This is not a civilized way to pay for society. Then it goes, fire the IRS and the Fed, erase the debt. You know, free healthcare and free education, as in freedom. Okay. Now, this is one thing I didn't understand with Linux software. They're going, yeah, it's free software. It's free, free, free. And I'm going, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Me buy Linux Red Hat at Staples cost me $70. What do you mean free? Freedom. Oh, I had, what's his face? The GNU Linux guy on. Man, he wanted to make that clear. It's freedom. And it's GNU Linux, damn it, because he did the graphic user interface. So I'm going, all right, so you learned something. And then he has here, legalized pineapple pizza. Got a legal, of all the stuff here, we got legalized pineapple pizza. All right, man, explain legalizing pineapple pizza.
Well, to put it simply, nobody has the right to tell you what you can or cannot put in your own body. Am I right?
Yeah, I'm hip. Including so pineapple pizza? Oh my god!
It's become kind of a popular debate among people whether or not pineapple is an appropriate topping to put on pizza. And the Prime Minister of Iceland even came out and said this should be banned. And of course, he said it as a joke. But you know, but here's the thing: how far can a joke go when the government has so much power?
Hey man, gives them votes. You know, if you got the anti-pineapple people got 52.6% of the vote, I'm against pineapple.
It could become illegal. Even if it was on the ballot as a joke, and if people voted for it as a joke, it could become illegal as a joke. And if a cop didn't like you because you looked at him funny, he could arrest you and charge you for it.
Yep, that's how it works. I'm with you, brother. All right, so how are you doing your campaign? You're going around to the states, and you'll be – the way it works in Libertarian Party, anybody can run for president. You just show up, and you pay your national member dues, and I'm for president, put me up on the stage. And they go, okay, well, you got to get tokens. What they did is to kind of make it that you got to have enough support is you go around, and everybody that registers as a delegate gets a slip of paper, the golden ticket, the Willy Wonka or something, and you write – whoever's on it, and you give it to the candidate. Okay, I'm for so-and-so. Give it to me. Pinky swear. No. You go put it in the box yourself, or you give it to the candidate, and once they get 50, I mean, they'll change it. They'll make it 100, make it 1,000, whatever they got to do to try.
I think they do like the top five usually.
Is that what they do? They limit it?
For the debates anyway.
Well, yeah. Well, see, you know, there's being able to be voted for and who gets into the debates. These are like different things, you know?
Right.
So, you know, in the debate, you know, a lot of times, a lot of people, even though you may support someone else, they got enough. You go, hell yeah, I want this guy in. I want this guy in. I want this guy. You get Daryl Perry up there running as the anarchist and William Cawley for VP, and they get like 30% of the vote. I mean, you know, they're just going, whoa, you know, this is, man, a worm has turned. So I've seen it go from like 15% over the years. It keeps going up. It's well over a third now, or the anarchist, you know, style of more theater and doing kind of an education, you know, bite me, principle, no compromise stuff. So that's like a chunk. I mean, you're already walking into 20% of the vote, you know, just from that. So I'm going, all right, how are you going to take advantage of this? What's going to be your strategy for delegates and so on?
I mean, you know, in the libertarian circles, I really don't have to try too hard. They see the hat, they love it, and they give me support, which is really awesome. And, you know, like I said, I do like to spend my energy outside of the campaign, because the reality of a libertarian, even if I got the nomination, the reality of a win, if we're not changing the public conversation about what the role of government is going to be impossible. As many people got behind Gary Johnson and said, oh yeah, this is it. He's got connections. He can do all this fundraising. He's got millions of dollars. It's not gonna win, because he's not able to change the conversation with the Democrats and the Republicans and the non-voters.
And not with Bill Weld, that is hip everywhere of everything, right, of doing it. That was just a payment off. I don't know what we got for that, but it wasn't enough, whatever the hell it was, or may even been a negative. So I'm just going, I'm dumb. You know, they go, yeah, but we didn't grow we didn't make money. You know, I'm going under bad Narek or whatever. I go, first, do no harm. And then right after, this is what happened. At the 06 convention in Portland, Oregon, they just stripped the platform. They just, you know, I saw how they did it. It was shenanigans or whatever for Bob Barr, because they couldn't have the platform say stuff. Bob Barr was totally against. I'm going, this, you're, you know, this is like the Republicans and Democrats. The platform is depending on who's going to be the nominee. I'm going, what the hell is that? We got a platform, and then you decide whether you're going to be selected based on your adherence to that by the members. And that's how it generally pretty much works better in the LP. It takes like 7 ballots to get Barr. It took, you know, several to get Weld. It takes, you know, they're coming up against something. And I'm wanting to know, in your estimation, after we've gone through the last presidential thing with, you know, whoever was up there, and that's where you recognize this bumper sticker? Where'd that come from?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that was... Yeah, from the 2016.
Yeah, the national debate, and it was Dr. God, man, I'm losing his name already.
Okay, I'm not the only one then.
Yeah, so you know, it was one of the candidates just did a great job and kind of was an add to the mix. And you know, when you're asked other issues, how experienced are you? Have you run for office before? Have you done this? You're ready. You got your rhetoric down. What's up?
Yeah, I mean, you know, pretty much I've got really good solutions for any issue that's been thrown at me. I did run for the Texas House of Representatives in 2014 as a libertarian. That was my first time running, and I got something like 23% in a very Democratic area that was so Democratic, in fact, that the Republicans wouldn't even run a candidate. So that was a pretty good win in my view.
Yeah.
But, you know, learning and talking to people. See, this is my thing. Like, I see a lot of these candidates go out there and they create a platform and they say, I can sell this. And then they go out there and sell it. Sometimes they'll do the market research and the focus groups and all that. What my platform has come from is the fundamental philosophy of we are not government property, and then talking to people and finding out what their needs are. Why do they support Democrats? Why do they support Republicans? Why do they want the things that they want? And having that conversation and figuring out, how can I get you those things without having to steal from somebody else? How can I help make your life better with less government? And once I kind of realize how that works, and then I do some research into some of the different things that they're concerned with, then I can say things like, okay, look, here's a free healthcare plan. Now I have your attention because I said free healthcare. And it's going to get you the things that you want, which is healthcare. You don't really care if it's free. You don't really care if it's affordable into the terms of the Affordable Care Act. What you care is that you have access to it and that you can get what you want. And there's not government standing in your way saying, hey, well, there's all this red tape, or you need to buy this insurance thing first, and you need to waste all your money on all this extra administration costs, and you can't import your drugs from out of the country, even though they're
mandated and prevented by government. Hey, take your taxation as theft sticker starting to roll off your hat, man. You'll smooth it down, you know, because, oh, yeah, there we go. Yeah. That's better. All right. I'm for you being able to have this platform, and we're doing this. You know, you need money. Is it you?
Absolutely.
All right,
well, how much you got?
I don't know. I never give any politicians any money. I just go out and I do things, you know. And so that's what you can get from me. Certainly coming on the show during any time during the campaign. You know, what would be? I'll get you guys on a regular basis. You know, what do you
think?
That'd
be awesome.
You know, what do you think? Every couple months, something? What?
I'm up for that.
Well, when do you think there's going to be another big giant move? And okay, Labor Day. I'll tell you this, Donna, have Dan come on after contact him on Labor. It's always after Labor Day. After Labor Day, the year before is when the campaign really gets going. You know, then you have the schedule of the conventions that's going to be for the following year. All right, here we go. So we'll go ahead and add Dan to the mix here. I like the message. I think he's got the right attitude. We're going to go in and have some fun, adds to the discussion. Don't you think? I think so. All right, Dan, stick right there. We do a little bit of after show. Pace, go to the stream. Go to the live stream.
We have some good.
There we go. All right, this is where I'm leaning on this thing. One, I want to make sure that everybody gets to have their say of the say of they get to have their say. So we've had you on. We have Bumper Hornberger on. I keep calling Bumper. His nickname is Bumper. I've known him as Bumper for decades. Is Jacob Hornberger from Future Freedom Foundation. So Jacob and yourself and, of course, is Justin Thang and I. Yeah, we'll see. But the is there any other candidates that are going to be making waves or you think it's coming?
Yeah, so do you know Arvind Vohra? He was the vice.
Okay. God, is he Arab descent or Hispanic? I'm not sure.
I'm not sure. It's some Middle Eastern. I keep wanting to say Indian, but because I think the name is Hindi.
Oh, okay. So he's been, you know, hardworking activist in, but it's mostly been pick me, I'm on the LNC, you know?
Right. Yeah. And he's gotten a lot of negative attention, but he's, you know, I'm actually reading one of his books right now, and it's really got some very good insights on different things in terms of the family structure. So,
it always comes down to the use of the power of the office or this, I call them shiny badgers, you know, and you got to hear them whine. The shiny badgers are, I got a shiny badge, therefore I have authority to the blah, blah, blah. And I'm just, I don't need the shiny badge mentality, but I don't know. He seems to be articulate enough. He's in New York, isn't he? Is it New York?
I think it's like Massachusetts or somewhere up there.
Okay. So it's he's experienced. I mean, he's not going to say too stupid of stuff. He's going to be up there advocating for the whatever. It always comes down to what the party should do. And it's always spending other people's money kind of thing. And I'm just.
Well, he's been pretty much. So we've been having our debates on this. We Are Libertarian podcast. Mm-hmm. And he does pretty much stick to this is what I would do as president. So he does have kind of a platform built up. Okay. There's also Kim Ruff and Ben Letter who are, Kim Ruff's a lawyer out of, I want to say like Ohio or somewhere around there. And Ben Letter is just kind of like a small time activist from Texas. But he's been kind of helping to organize these debates, which have, you know, they're not huge, but they have been kind of instrumental in getting different views out.
You got to have direct comparison. You know, I don't care how you do it.
And one of the things that, you know, that's happening because of this is a lot of the libertarians who are, you know, the returning delegates who are always part of the party, they're seeing this and they're getting familiar with us. So it's not going to be like Justin Amash comes in and it's like, oh, this is the guy you pick. It's no, whatever happened to
well,
these
the
other
last
guys.
Cycle, I've gone through, you know, like Gary Johnson, been, you know, a good friend of the show. He's come on. We've even done fundraisers here for him and a bunch of guys show up in their Ron Paul Revolution shirts. And so he knows the drill here. We have Austin Peterson. He was on live debating with Daryl Perry. You know, Daryl Perry is coming in and then Austin Peterson doing their thing. I had John McAfee on several times. John McAfee might do it again too.
Yeah. He's running. So ironically, he's running his campaign from an island because he's a refugee from the IRS. I'm actually running my campaign from Cancun.
Are you really?
Yeah. Just I'm in Cancun right now. So. Yeah.
Are you in Cancun or are you just running it from Cancun?
I'm not officially a resident. I'm officially unofficially a tourist. But I've been living here for about 2 years in and out. So
So you are doing it from Cancun.
Yeah.
Whoa,
I'm a borderless libertarian.
Man. All right. That's awesome. So where do you get your money? I mean, you've independently wealthy.
I work for, I'm a software engineer and I work for a company out of New York. That's pretty much what that is.
Good. We need IPFS help. You know anything about IPFS?
Interplanetary
file sharing?
No. Is that Windows?
No. IPFS is a protocol behind Filecoin that allows for decentralized storage and dissemination of data. And we have on, I want to show you this before you go. This is something that would be of interest to you because it's so important because they're shutting down everybody on the internet. And we've known this for years. So we've been preparing in the background, you know, like for Made Safe or Filecoin or SIA or what, all these other, we're looking for. So what we did is we chose IPFS because it was developed enough that it actually works. It's got to work better. But, you know, so what we did, go to freedomsphoenix.com. At the top right, you'll see Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, that white area up there. Just click on that.
Freedomsphoenix.com. And which one?
Declare Your Independence on the top right.
Got it.
All right. You go in there and you'll see, you know, the radio shows and you'll see you there. Click on your name. When that comes up, you scroll down and you'll see where we're all blah, blah, blah. Then it says IPFS as Freedoms Phoenix, Pirates Out, Borders, and the Corbett Report. So click on the Corbett Report, and we'll see how fast it's loading. Sometimes it's slow as hell. But you click on what it is we take all that data. It's hundreds of gigs of data, and we put it on servers that sync up with other servers that never go away, and it's like Tor. It goes after it by address, not location on a server or something. So this is so that it's immutable. It never goes away. You know, but, you know, it's the gateways are slower and, you know, sometimes it works better than other times. But the point is the forever internet. And that's what we've been working on. And, you know, sometimes it pops right up and sometimes it takes a couple minutes. But the whole point is interplanetary file sharing is a mechanism by which you can load data. It's what does DTube. You know, DTube is IPFS.
Right.
So this is the way of getting, because I know your message. You need to have something like this just to even have it backed up or to have it to where it can never go away because they're going to make it go away. And you're, yeah, we got this great video, and as soon as we get all kinds of attention on their CNN interview, it's gone. Oh, no, Facebook would not do that. I just want to slap you guys. You know, I'm like, what?
Right.
Of course they're going to do it. And right when it's the best time for them to do it, they do it. So I'm like, ugh. All right. So here, I'll show the audience. You go IPFS, you'll see up in here in the headline, IPFS.io, IPNS is a naming system, and then the hash. Well, this is, you know, all the data is there, and it can never go down. There is nobody to take it down. It's replicated on nodes, kind of like a blockchain. So it's, I don't know what you, I'll always be able to find it. It may take a while for it to load, but it's getting faster. And then with satellite communication, Elon just put up 60 new satellites. Sooner or later, we're going to have, you know, CubeSats if I get the transmit, if you don't get, and I got my own dish, a suck it. So I'm going, this is what the future is. All right, I got to get to my next guest. Dan, stay in touch. We're going to have you in September. Contact you. We'll do it again. Okay, brother?
Absolutely. Sounds good.
All right, peace.
Thanks for having me on.
You bet.
See ya.